As we close this year-long series of 365 Hope Talks devotionals, I want to share just a few secrets about my unforgettable parents. How they bent the twig. Me. My dad, always known as Pastor Joe, and his wife Ann, began to rear their family of five sons near Saskatoon, Saskatchewan, Canada, several years after World War II ended. When Joe began to sing bass in the Voice of Prophecy King's Herald's Quartet from 1948 to 1950, well, their sons numbered three. I was the oldest. By the time they reestablished their home back on a wheat farm in Saskatchewan, they had five little stair steps, ages 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5 years. Well, Dad then taught in a little tiny public school out on the farm with only about 14 students, out in the sticks, as we used to say. And he farmed 1 square mile of land raising wheat and kids. As I said, I was the oldest of the five sons of the tribe of Joseph and Anne. Well, as each boy came along, my parents dedicated him to the Lord. They took time to remind us that we had been dedicated to the Lord as an important event years before when we didn't even remember it. So we each began to feel a sense of destiny and responsibility because of this clear-cut personal projection of having identity and purpose in a life, well, it started at a very young age. Well, both Dad and Mom sang in the choir while they were teenagers at their little Russian-Ukrainian Beaver Creek church. So before we kids could even talk, my parents delighted in guiding our vocal cords to express a universal language, the gift of music. Neither parent had any formal musical training, yet this was to be the adhesive cement that bound our family of five sons together by a tie that will never be broken. From the time we were just young children, there's always been singing in the home. The hassles and tussles and complaining, together with the minor disappointments of five little troubled hearts, literally evaporated whenever we gathered together to make music. Dad held before us a constant goal, a dream which could only be realized as a united effort to sing for the Lord, perhaps publicly. Practicing and harmonizing became instinctive as Mom took time to teach each boy to sing hymns as soon as he could speak. We learned to sing not only the melody, but harmony parts as well. So you can imagine the good times we had at family worship. No child could read a note of music. We never owned a piano. None of us ever took formal music lessons until later in life. It was all by ear, as they say, and the tender, patient, personal touch of Mom. Mom deserves a special category of tribute when the Lord comes, namely for her determined goal of molding and shaping the character of her sons. Dad was called into the ministry in 1957 by the Southern New England Conference. So after Dad sold the farm and became a singing evangelist for Dan Harris, and Elman J. Falkenberg, Walter Schubert, Roland K. Seymour, George Vandeman, Don Gray, and others, there were many, many days and nights when he was away from home, working in evangelism, working for the Lord. We sons missed our dad, but we grew to know we were sharing him with others during this time. How often from the earliest years I heard Mom's voice late at night after each sleepy head was tucked in bed. Now, thinking Dad had come home and was talking softly with Mother, I would crawl out of bed, slip secretly and stealthily toward their bedroom, only to discover and hear Mom praying out loud, praying with tears in her voice for each of her sons by name. She was all alone. I could hear her praying for me. She claimed promises that Lonnie and Jody and Dallas and Eugene and Rudy would each seek to enter the kingdom of heaven. especially during our teens and the traumatic and frustrating years of high school, we sons would often find her praying. You know, my mother always listened when we needed someone to talk to. She took time from cooking, sewing, baking, washing, ironing, and her endless round of duties of caring for five boys. She would hear each of our little wants and requests and soothe our hurts. She never impatiently brushed aside our concerns. Patiently. She always tried to see our perspective of things. Each son knew she would always understand. To be truthful, it amazes me now as I think back on those years, how each one of us boys depended on this relationship of trust we had with our mother. None of us can ever remember her ever losing her temper. We shared our intimacies with her, good and bad. She always listened. How did she develop that technique? Perhaps there's an answer. Mother jealously guarded the privilege of bringing up all five of her boys and not giving the credit to her babysitters. Personally, I cannot recall ever being with a babysitter. Our individual growth and welfare was too important for her to risk sharing those golden moments with another. She was there to enjoy our first steps. She was there to hear us speak our first words. She wanted to be there. Dad sometimes encouraged her to join him on a crusade or get away for a weekend at some nearby convocation with him. He saw her burdened down with her responsibilities, but no, Mom, without exception, usually chose to stay at home with her five sons. Well, Dad, when home, taught us boys the manlier virtues of life. He tried to establish in our young minds an appreciation for the little things. Now, we have very little money-wise, ever. Yet small occasions were made great events, especially if Dad was there. Dad was always the greatest softball pitcher. He could play goalie best in hockey. He joined us in tobogganing, playing tag at the beach, or playing croquet and flying a kite in the backyard. Now, on the farm there in Canada, we didn't have electricity or plumbing or even a grocery store. So he and Mom would take us children cherry picking or gathering strawberries or Saskatoon berries, freezing them, or traveling to the hill country to pick those wild choke cherries. These outings were made into a family event as we gathered food for our winter storehouse. I remember disaster nearly struck one such excursion while picking hazelnuts far off the main road in deep brush. The two youngest brothers narrowly escaped death. The car, parked on a slope in the road, mysteriously began moving backward, gathering speed as it veered toward a steep ditch. The tires crunched and the frame groaned as it careened over the edge and came to a stop amid giant cattails between several mammoth boulders. There in the car, the two youngest boys, Rudy and Eugene, who had been playing inside the vehicle but who had grown weary of waiting for the rest of the family, they were lying down in the back seat of the car, fast asleep. They were only about 2 or 3 years of age. Well, the rest of the family gathering around that car for prayer, watched breathlessly as Dad, miraculously, drove the car up that steep embankment and out of the ditch without a single scratch. I will never forget my parents again gathering the family on that desolate, forsaken dirt road, kneeling on the hard gravel and offering a tearful prayer of thanksgiving. It was on such occasions as this where we sons learned to thank God for blessings, as well as to ask Him for favors and guidance. Well, Dad, he taught us other principles. I recall learning how to save money with my next oldest brother, Jody. We were perhaps 6 and 7 then. At first, I couldn't understand why I should want to save money. Money? It was for spending, whenever we might drive into the little town of Arlee once a week. But in wintertime on the farm in Canada, Jody and I took turns hauling coal and wood from the distant shed to the wood box inside our house where it was used for heating purposes. We earned 2 cents per load of coal and 1 cent for wood, freighted aboard our 6-foot toboggan. Well, this was no easy task for 6 and 7 year olds in 4 feet of snow. At the woodpile, we had to dig out the wood from beneath the snow and then balance the logs on the toboggan while we tried to pull it forward in the deep drifts. Usually we had to perform the chore together. Another lesson. Well, by the time we left the farm and moved to the United States, Dad reported that Jody and I had earned nearly $100. We'd never seen a cent of it in currency or cash, always just the ledger that hung on the wall. Later, Dad opened a bank account for us, and eventually for each son, and we were able to have our own savings account passbooks, learning the satisfaction and joy of saving for later in life. We never chose to spend our savings as children. Well, up there in Canada, while still young, we learned to work on the farm. Our parents gave each child some responsibility, which often proved to be more fun than work, for the older children especially, driving the tractor, helping Dad pump gas by turning the manual crank, or helping Mom milk our family cow. But the age of 4 and 5, when we were still didn't even have running water, Jody and I learned how to pull down the stubborn handle of the old pump and could carry buckets of water to the house for Mother by hanging the pail on a broomstick, by taking each of us taking an end, sharing the weight. We 5-year-olds could carry that big 2-gallon pail to the house. Dad and Mother permitted us to help plant seeds in our huge garden and learn how to cover them with just the right various depths of soil. Obviously, they might have done the job far more efficiently and quickly without our help, but they wanted to teach us to enjoy having a part in our garden. When the corn developed, or melons and carrots matured, we had part in picking them and learning to tell when they were ripe. Actually, we got to be pretty good at it. Now, with no girls in our family, the kitchen offered its share of lessons for each son as we grew old enough to be responsible and not drop the dishes while setting the table or washing and drying the dishes. Each son eventually had his turn in rotation to help Mom. She kept a checklist on the wall: baking bread, frying potatoes, making Russian vareniki, or borscht. Everybody had his turn. And as I look back, you know, great care was taken by my parents not to favor any one child to the neglect of another. No, we didn't lack for sibling rivalry. We had our squabbles. But I don't recall any one son ever brooding that, well, Mom always loved you best. Mm-mm. When I got a bike at age 14, Jody, Dallas, and Eugene and Rudy were assured a bicycle at age 14. If I got a baseball glove at 10, the others received the same. Unless an item was handed down, which was often the case. Poor Rudy, the youngest, always got items that were at least third hand. Oh, there was discipline, too. We had our scrapes and differences among ourselves and with other children. When we did, our parents never took sides until they heard the other kid's story. Then discipline was administered in proper dosage. When we got punished, we knew we deserved it. Probably the greatest single factor that promoted spirituality among us as we grew up was family worship. Morning and evening. No, we didn't always enjoy it, but it was always carried out without exception. Friday evening sundown vespers were very special times. when we were still very, very young, Mom took time to read Bible stories or Sabbath school lessons to each child. There were always at least three Sabbath school divisions represented in our household, meaning three different lessons to read. Then, later in life, Mom played the piano if we had one in our rented home and a borrowed piano. Each child would select his favorite song and we'd all join in singing together. Come, dear Father, don't you want to go? Come, dear Mother, don't you want to go? Come, dear children, don't you want to go? Safe in the arms of Jesus. That was our favorite as kids. Prayer always followed. Dad would lead, Mother would join in, and finally each of the children, from the oldest to the youngest. Sometimes we would read Bible verses or make up Bible quizzes. As each child grew old enough to read, a favorite activity was to recite Bible texts in turn, beginning with the letters of the alphabet. With neither a television nor a stereo during most of our growing up years, we had a great desire to hear the word or sing together. When we got our first stereophonic console, wow, we almost revered it as we listened and re-listened to the few worn-out albums we owned. During those years when Dad worked in evangelism and we often moved from place to place, our large family many times had to settle for less than desirable living quarters. Rented, always. There were times when all five of us had to occupy one small bedroom for five boys. Those days were not always easy for us or for our parents. But they taught us to improvise, to be patient, and to defer to one another in those crowded conditions. Dad and Mom taught us children comradeship as we grew up, to be proud of our family of five boys. Sometimes we acted shy when in public, as if we were embarrassed to have so many brothers or be part of a family with so many kids. But we were always proud to sing together and be known as part of that singing Melashenko family singers. Our heaven-sent talent of singing helped each of us overcome coyness and reticence, shyness. All of us five boys have, with God's divine love and patient guidance, grown up unscarred, unscathed by the generation gap that plagues so many families today. In fact, each of us has been in the gospel ministry as preachers or teachers, and we've always been madly in love with our parents. We don't think it is naive to believe that with all of our hearts in that old adage, the family that prays together stays together. So that's my unforgettable parents and how they bent the twig with this book. They took as their mantra these words from the book Child Guidance, page 488. Parents should seek to comprehend the fact that they are to train their children for the courts of God. When they are entrusted with children, it is the same as though Christ placed them in their arms and said, "Train these children for me, that they may shine in the courts of God."